Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week we move into the dog days of summer a little early.
Is that what we're calling it?
That's what I'm calling it. For a couple movies like After Earth, or as I like to call it, After Earth.
Nice.
You know, it's Welcome to Earth. There's also Now You See Me, and plus we'll be talking about some movie news and some DVD and Blu-ray. What little ones that are out there. It's kind of a
slow week. Nothing going on this week.
It's kind of a slow week for a lot of things, except news, because
there's a ton of news, which is good, because that fills everything else up for us.
That'll pad out the rest of the show. But first, before we move on, let's talk box office. Am I allowed to do a victory dance?
Let's just get into the Kevin Carr victory segment.
Am I allowed to do a victory dance? Because I thought I was going to lose the victory on this one, and then I went back and looked at our predictions, and I'm like, you know what? I might be able to do a victory dance.
It's true. I would like you not to do a victory dance.
Oh, who cares? Let's go party in the...
See, I don't think that people understand that you actually are dancing right now. Like, Kevin actually does get up and dance, and it hurts my eyes.
It is a traumatizing experience.
It is.
Every week for Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And at some point, you will... I only want to do it when I can really... claim legitimate victory.
Okay.
Because then it cheapens it. I don't want to cheapen my sexy
because
pole
it's,
dancing.
It's not cheap to begin with.
No.
Really.
It's very classy. It's very elegant and sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I'm all about. Sophistication and grace on Fat Guys at the Movies. But I do the victory dance because I predicted Fast and Furious to make $95 million last weekend. You said 90.
Yeah.
Which is a good, that's very fair. That's good.
Yeah.
It ended up making $97 million over the 3-day and then $117 million because it did a $20 million Memorial Day run.
Which is crazy.
That's a lot of money.
Seriously, people. Fast and Furious 6.
It's not that good.
No.
And that's fine. I'm all for. What I find so funny is the people saying, like the fans are like, it's so awesome. It's, I love the fact that it made so much money. And I'm like, since when has the amount of money a movie makes necessarily been indicative of quality?
Exactly.
Not always.
Oh, no, not so much.
There's a lot of terrible movies. And there's a lot of movies that people will rip on and forget did extremely well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just watched this weekend. I watched Convoy. Do you even know what that movie is?
I do, but I haven't seen it.
It is based on the country sort of gimmick song. Convoy. And it stars Kris Kristofferson.
Of course it does.
And Ally McGraw. And it was made in the 70s. And it's directed by Sam Peckinpah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's a terrible movie. That movie made $45 million in like 1978.
Nice.
Which is an insane amount of money back then.
Yes, it was.
And if you it was sort of kind of on the Smoking the Bandit CD craze.
Right, right.
Or CB craze. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's why it made so much money. But, yeah, it's like, that's a terrible movie that did extremely well.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Fast and Furious 6 is not a terrible movie.
It's better than Convoy.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you had The Hangover Part 3, which did $42 million on the 3-day and $50 million on the 4-day, and then like $62 million for the whole 5-day weekend because it opened on Thursday,
right.
Which is not, it was about half of what the second one did. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a little bit of blowback from, that was a movie where it did extremely well, and then people kind of all sat back and was like, yeah, it wasn't that
Hold
good.
Hold on. That was a terrible movie.
The second movie wasn't that good. Why did we go to that?
Yeah.
What? So then Star Trek actually still holding in 37 and 47 for
not
the
bad.
3- and 4-day. And Epic did pretty well, 34 and 43 million. And then Iron Man 3 is still kicking. It's almost at 400 million now.
There you go.
And going down the list into the, like, Oblivion, the top 10, Oblivion didn't even make over the 3-day like $1 million. So that's how kind of skewed the top 10 was towards the top.
Which I think it's interesting that Mud is in the top 10.
Yeah. And it's been in there for a couple weeks.
Random little movie with Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
And it still made a couple $1 million over the weekend.
Yeah. It helps having the really top-loaded movies,
You
know, when they're making $50, $60, $100 million, and then the ones in the 7, 8, 9 are 1 or 2.
Yeah, you look at that. 7 is Mud, 8 is 42, which has been out for
still
like
has.
6 months.
Oddly enough, it hasn't cracked $100 million, and it's been in the top 10 for like
it's
a
still
month
there.
And a half.
And The Croods.
Yeah.
Again, that movie's been out forever.
Yep.
But hey, why not?
What's interesting is this is the highest Memorial Day weekend box office ever, if you take the whole box office in total.
Again, people, Fast and Furious 6.
$314 million for all the movies in Hollywood. That's a lot of money. Not a whole lot of that going to the theaters, because most of it's in the first couple weeks of release for the big movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why theaters are having such problems right now. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
It's on
our list.
All right. Well, before we do that, let's give you some paperwork here. We've got fatguysatthemovies.com, which is where you can check us out. And you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. If you want to reach us via voicemail, you can call 740-205-6456.
And we love listening to them. So
That's
please,
right.
give us a call.
That's right. 740-205-6456. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM or twitter.com/KevinCarr to talk to me.
And KDK reviews for me.
With no M. So you want to hit that news story really quick about the theaters having problems and trying to eke more money out of the studios?
Yes. There was an article that ran this week about theaters trying to get studios to cut back on their trailers.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten massive. I mean, you watch these trailers and they go on forever. And by the time you're done, you're like, well, don't need to see that movie because I've already seen it. So theaters are trying to get studios to cut back to 2 minutes,
yeah.
which is kind of crazy.
The standard length right now is about 2.5, and I think, what is it, studios can release, at least in the article I read, because mm-hmm. it showed up in various different places. I read the one on Vulture, and it made the point that studios generally do 2 to 2.5 minute trailers, and then they are allowed 1 3-minute trailer a year.
Hmm.
Like Super, like Man of Steel, I think, has a 3-minute
right,
trailer
yep.
now. So that's Warner Brothers' expenditure for this week, this year. So, but what's funny is I've been showing movies to my kids and I put trailers in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, like older trailers were 3, 4, 5 minutes long, especially if you go back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They had really long trailers back then.
And now we are watching 5, 6 of them before a movie sometimes.
Yeah.
So, and that, you know, it gets a little long. You're like, come on. We're a half hour in and we still haven't seen the movie. Sometimes I forget what I'm even there to see.
That's true.
Because we watch so many trailers and I actually don't mind watching them because,
yeah.
you know, it's fun to see what's coming up and, you know, it's entertaining to sit through them. Some people complain and I do after about the fifth one. But yeah, cut back on them a little bit.
They don't
need to give everything away.
Yeah, I don't like the spoilery trailers. Again, those are nothing new, but I don't like spoilery trailers. The only time it gets annoying, fortunately for us, when they do press screenings, they don't put many trailers, if any,
sometimes.
In front of them. Sometimes they do. But most of the times we get maybe one or none.
Yeah.
If I were seeing 2 or 3 movies in the regular theaters every week, I would probably get really tired of them. Because
oh, yeah.
once you've seen a trailer 2, 3 times, you're just like, okay, let's go. So the next news story is news. I don't like to do casting news, but I find this one kind of interesting. They're making a movie about Hillary Rodham Clinton called Rodham, and they're looking for a Hillary. And
mm-hmm.
In the running, we've got Reese Witherspoon, Scarlett Johansson, and Jessica Chastain. First of all, what do you think about the fact that they're doing a Hillary movie, A, and they're aiming it for 2016?
And why not? It's going to be during award season, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to star somebody who's totally going for an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
And it's going to be boring.
Here's the thing with that is it's one thing to do a movie like The Iron Lady. Which
right.
was done in the autumn years of Margaret
right.
Thatcher's life.
Looking back.
Yeah. And like why don't they just get Meryl Streep to play her? Because she did Margaret Thatcher, she did Julia Child.
Might as well.
Yeah. But this is a young Hillary Clinton. The problem is this is going to be, how do you release this without being either a big rah-rah fan of Hillary Clinton?
Right.
Or making it a truthful sort of hit piece, and then they're timing it to 2016, which you're just like, okay, let's just... We're assuming she's running, so
right.
are they going to release it after the primaries? What if she doesn't get the nomination, you know? There's so much that could potentially go wrong with
this. I have my own casting recommendation.
Yeah, who?
I would like Amy Poehler.
She would be great.
I think that would be the perfect star for that movie.
I think they should do Roseanne Barr and make it a comedy.
Nice.
That's what I think. We've got a couple other news stories that we'll talk about. We're going to actually talk about those in a later segment, including stuff about Tyler Perry and, you know, some
Kickstarter news. We've got all kinds of fun stuff going on this week.
But for now, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk After Earth and Now You See Me.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We have been covering all kinds of news.
Yeah, we got more that we'll be throwing in the back end. Throw that in the trunk of the show.
Yes, there is a lot more. There's a lot going on in movie news this week. So we will get to more later.
After we talk about what's going on in theaters.
Yeah.
Which may be a little more depressing.
We could probably do that.
This is sort of like, you know how news is very depressing if you turn on CNN? And it'd be like, this person died, that thing happened, avalanche, earthquake, tsunami.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We have the movie releases, which are sort of like their own destructive forces. So let's
Some
start.
More destructive than others.
Let's start with After Earth. Will Smith and son Jaden Smith headline this film about a father and son who crash land on a hostile... I hate life.
Crash landed. 2 confirmed survivors. Do you know where we are?
No, sir.
This is Earth. There's an emergency beacon in the tail section of our ship. Approximately 100 kilometers from here. We need to retrieve that beacon.
Or are we going to die?
Now, let's just say, starting this out, that this week we had to choose.
Yes.
So we had to make a decision. After Earth and Now You See Me screened at the exact same time. So we could not see them both.
Yeah. Go look up Hobson's Choice in the dictionary, and you will understand what we had to deal with. I'm not even going to spoil it. It's an old term.
So now there's a reason why I chose to see Now You See Me.
Yeah.
It's because long, long ago after Lady in the Water.
I liked Lady in the Water.
I know you did. I made a vow that the next time an M. Night Shyamalan movie screened, I was going to go play laser tag instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that opportunity because The Happening was the next one and it didn't screen.
Yeah.
And then I made the mistake of going to see The Last Airbender.
Oops.
And I said, this is not happening again.
Yeah.
So, conveniently,
and
Now
it was
You
not
See
The
Me
Happening either.
Screened at the same time. So, it was an easy decision for me. Kevin, yeah. However...
I said I'd go see it. I figured that for people that I talk to on the radio, they're going to want to talk more about the Will Smith movie than about the movie with the cool hats, which was, you know.
I'll take the hats.
Woody Harrelson. So, yeah, I went and saw After Earth. Here's the thing. First of all, I'm going to preface this by saying I do not like Jaden Smith. All right. I think he peaked in his career with The Pursuit of Happiness because he just had to be the cute kid.
He was cute.
And then he was in, like, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and he was the punk sort of, like, adopted or stepson of Jennifer Connelly. And,
sure. Mm-hmm.
And then he did The Karate Kid, which was awful. And just because, look, you're a good-looking kid, and just because you can cry on command does not make you your dad, all right? So now, because The Karate Kid was so big, because idiots in this world decided to go see that movie, they are now headlining together.
Not that he's bitter or anything about this.
It's not that even Jaden Smith's that bad. It's that he's not his dad.
Right.
He even as, you know, I never saw Will Smith when he was like 13, 14. I saw him when he was a little older doing Fresh Prince. But the guy has real charisma.
He does.
And he works.
Yes.
And he's kind of hard to not like in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much for Jaden Smith, but he's trying to be his dad. It's sort of like when Kiefer Sutherland...
Mm-hmm.
Started doing movies, he didn't suddenly just try to do the stuff his dad did.
Right.
And he suddenly became a very formidable star doing movies that were his own and his own character. And it helped that he wasn't doing massive blockbusters when he was 10.
Right.
But here's the thing. I think he could probably be a good actor. Give him 10 years, let him disappear, have him come back and play villains or something like that. He could do a good job. But he's trying to do the dad part. And Will Smith's in the movie, but it's like he says, I have this idea for a movie, and I'm just going to, like, sit here behind a computer monitor for the whole movie, but it's going to have a lot of dialogue for me, so they're going to look at me, and because you got to remember, it's a Will Smith movie, but it's really about my kid. And I can't really disparage Will Smith for trying to do good things for his kids.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if I were in the same situation, I probably would be doing the same thing.
Of course.
But there is a point where you have to stand back and say, you are kind of throwing him to the wolves here, because, you know, some people be like, oh, he's just a kid. I'm like, no, he's headlining a movie. $130 million went into this film. Mm-hmm. And it's getting a major release. The kid is fair game. You can't necessarily, it's not like picking on some kid who just happens to be along for the ride. It's not like picking on, like, a president's child who just happens to be the kid of a president, you know?
Right.
Chelsea Clinton went through that. You know, and people are like, no, back off Chelsea Clinton. She's not a political figure. Let her be a kid, you know?
Right.
And I think that's a fair thing to say, but...
He is putting himself out there.
Yeah, and... It's the movie so poor. It's needlessly convoluted. It's like 1,000 years in the future, and Earth is abandoned, but there's aliens apparently attacking humans wherever they are.
You are aware that this is an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's Will Smith's idea, though. It's his story. So it totally feels like a movie that was written by a movie star who's not a writer, directed by a guy who's way under his depth, and headlined by the son of a big actor. That's exactly what you get with it. And, like, Jaden Smith, first of all, he's going through puberty, so his voice is all cracky. So he starts narrating the movie. So I was like, this is... And I was just like, oh, this just sounds bad. And it feels... And it's, like, cuts these, like, news clips together at the beginning, and so it feels like it was done, like, on somebody's computer at home.
Oh, geez.
As, like, kids in middle school. And then on top of it, he like has this, everyone has this weird accent. He's like, I guess trying not to sound, you know, like real, cause in the Karate Kid, he kind of was trying to sound street and
right.
everything. And he's not in this one.
So
and,
how is he trying to sound in
well,
this one then?
They all kind of end up sounding like Peter Stormare. So it's a really bizarre, though you don't know who that is. He's just watch like The Last Stand or.
Hey, if you've got to go with somebody, why not Peter Stormare?
But, like, everybody has the same accent. And it's... the kid just... He's just not good enough to carry a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He just plain isn't. And, look, this is better than The Last Airbender. Because that thing was just an absolute...
Oh, it was terrible.
I mean, that was just a disaster from beginning to end. This at least has some interesting special effects. But honestly, I sat through the whole thing. I couldn't. I was trying to explain this. I did a radio interview, and I'm like, "Well, it's kind of this, and then blah blah blah, and then this happens, and then they're on Earth again." But I don't know why they're not there. And there's like a scene where like Will Smith says to him, "He's like, all these creatures here have evolved to just kill man." And I'm like, "Well, they've been gone for 1,000 years. How do they evolve to kill man?" And so the kid gets up on top of a mountain. There's birds flying. I'm like, "Are those going to kill him? Maybe? I don't know.
You never know."
There's like whales in the movie for no pragmatic reason whatsoever.
Do they walk on the land?
No.
Because that would be neat.
That would be cool. I don't know. It is an absolute unmitigated disaster of a film. And I have not been this angry at a movie since like... Like Human Centipede 2, just in the fact that I didn't want to see it. And then you know, you lay down at night and you're going to bed and you're thinking about the movie. You're like, that didn't make, wait a minute. No, that makes no sense. No, shame on you, movie. This is a bad film. This is a terrible movie. I hope it is the nail in the coffin of Jaden Smith's career. And then maybe he can, like I said, come back and be a bad guy.
There you go.
But I am so glad I did not have a movie star dad to put me in my worst years on the planet in a headlining film and just be savaged by critics. This is a terrible movie. It is a bad film, beginning to end, front to back. Dialogue is awful. The construction of the film is terrible. The directing's bad. And it's not even like Shyamalan's heart's not even in it. You can tell he's just kind of a gun
but
for hire.
Is there a twist in the end?
No, the twist is it's a terrible movie all along. Anyway,
surprise!
It totally sucks. We got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll hear what you have to say about Now You See Me. Back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. I'm going to go curl up in the corner, and I'm going to go take a shower and huddle and
I
and
hear
shake.
You have a little bit of a hangover still from this movie.
I have a Jaden Smith hangover.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Oh, heavens.
That sounds like the worst kind.
Yeah. So let's talk about your viewing experience this week.
Yes.
Which was arguably much better than mine.
Yeah, kind of.
What did you see? I'm gonna go have a smoothie.
Pour yourself a drink.
Okay.
I saw Now You See Me. Mark Ruffalo plays an FBI agent who's assigned to investigate a quartet of magicians after they appear to rob a Parisian bank during their Vegas show.
Your bank was the distraction while they set up the real trick.
I was $140 million distraction.
Who doesn't love a good magic trick?
FBI! Hands where I can see him.
I don't think I heard you correctly. Did you say magicians robbed the bank?
You are going to be played.
You have what we in the business like to call nothing up your sleeve. Because if you did, it means that you and the FBI and your friends at Interpol actually believe in magic.
And then, first rule of magic, always be the smartest guy in the room.
This movie looked like a really smart movie.
Okay.
Going into it. You know, watching the trailer, you're like, hey, this could be really clever.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
No. No, it's kind of like going to any kind of magic show. You have to suspend disbelief to enjoy it. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's flashy and silly and fun. And if you're not really nitpicky and, you know, going in there to pick it apart, then it can be enjoyable.
I love your backhanded intro. If you don't care about plot or character or logic,
it's one of those things. It's one of those movies that you can't think too much about it.
Okay.
Because it's fun. You know, there are the magic tricks, and yeah, some of them are CGI, and you're like, it's kind of cheap. But
that bothers me, because a good magic trick should be the illusion.
I know, but it's a movie. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you going to not do it and make it, you know, less spectacular? Because these tricks kind of look cool.
Was it better than David Blaine doing anything at all?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, because it has a great cast.
Yeah.
And some of them are really underused. Mark Ruffalo, I felt bad for him because he's great, but his character is just, it's terrible.
He didn't Hulk out, did he?
No, he should have. It would have been nice. No, he plays just a stereotypical, cliched, skeptic cop who really just wants to bring the bad guys down.
No.
And, you know, it's kind of sad. And there are some people, some of the magicians, it really is sad. You know, you talk about Jaden Smith being Will Smith's son.
Mm.
Dave Franco is James Franco's brother.
He will always be like the cheesy guy from the Bad Scrubs episodes.
Yeah, and there is a reason why he doesn't have a whole lot of lines. Also, Isla Fisher, not a whole lot of lines. And when she opens her mouth, you're like, oh.
Yeah, but she's so pretty.
I know. Hey, and that's why she's there, because she looks good. But yeah, as soon as she opens her mouth, the lines that come out, you're like, oh, who wrote that?
Wow. Wait, but was it that is she necessarily bad, or is it just she gets all the worst lines?
I think
lines?
She had some bad lines, and I think she wasn't directed well.
Because she's like the only woman in it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, also, Melanie Laurent.
Oh, that's right.
Is
she's
in it,
there.
Too. She's an Interpol agent who works with Mark
she's
Ruffalo.
She's foreign. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so.
Of course, I think Ella Fisher's foreign, too.
Right.
Isn't she British or something?
So you have other members of the cast. So you have Morgan Freeman's in it, and he has a small role, as does Michael Caine. But they give the movie a little bit of weight.
I love how in the trailer they put them both together because they're like, hey, look, Dark Knight.
Yeah. And, you know, just seeing them in the movie makes it worthwhile. But then you have Jesse Eisenberg, who, you know, he's a little hit or miss, but he's very Social Network in this.
Okay.
He has the attitude, and he's fun to watch. And Woody Harrelson is Woody Harrelson. I mean, how can you avoid this guy?
Please tell me he ate a Twinkie in this movie.
No, he did not get his Twinkie.
So, I'm not seeing it now.
Mm-hmm. So the cast is great. It's fun. It's silly. Don't think too much about it. But, you know, it's still an enjoyable movie. I think part of the reason why I enjoyed it more than maybe I should have, though, was because of the viewing experience for me. And now you have been in this experience before.
Because it wasn't After Earth?
No, I was sitting in this screening next to our dear friend Nicholas Harum from movies hateyou2.com and new to Netflix.
Yes.
And Nick has a way of watching these movies. And if Nick shuts down in a movie, it is all over.
I want to, someday I want to take a camera and videotape it. And the security will like, don't pirate the movie. I'm not pirating the movie. I'm just videotaping this guy watch the movie because it's amazing.
It is because he gets really mad and he grunts and groans and sighs.
Squirms around.
Yeah.
Touches his forehead.
And he definitely shut down early on in this movie, which he already was a little bit upset about it because of Woody Harrelson's hat.
Yeah, that was
and
his big thing.
He was offended by this hat. And so you knew from the start that we were in trouble. And I think, you know, the madder he got, the more I enjoyed it. Because then it was entertaining.
Because you're just
around.
Like waiting for the cheesy moment to happen, and it happens, and he just...
Yeah. And then he started laughing out loud, and everybody in the audience is glaring at it. Oh, it was funny.
That's awesome.
And we walked out, and he's like, I wasn't that bad. I'm like, yeah, you were.
No, I've sat next to Nick on plenty of occasions, and he can be bad at these movies.
And that's one of those things that made me want to like it so much more.
Now, do you like the director Louis Leterrier?
I can't say that I do, no.
Okay, because he did Clash of the Titans.
Right.
And before that, didn't he do, like, Transporter?
He did the 18? Transporter movies and The Incredible Hulk. The one with Edward Norton.
Oh, okay.
So, he's done stuff, not necessarily great stuff, and this also is not great.
Okay.
You know, it's not Clash of the Titans, though, at least.
Okay.
Which he has recently admitted was a mess. What? So, you know, at least he can look at himself and realize that, okay, so maybe that was a mistake.
I thought Clash of the Titans was okay. I think the biggest problem is it was a rush job early post-conversion that caused a lot of people problems.
And that was the mess that he talked about, too, that he said, you know, it was one of those things that was forced on me, and it shouldn't have been done. It was just to get more money, and it was a mistake.
Yeah.
So at least he can look back on it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens. So what do you say? What's your grade on that one?
I am going to say it kind of rocks, but you have to go in it knowing what to expect.
You have to go. It's kind of rocks, but you have to go in knowing it kind of sucks.
Well, no, you have to go in knowing that it's not the Prestige.
Okay.
You know, it's not a smart magician movie. It's a fun, flashy magician movie.
Okay. So it's like a Vegas magician.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds good. Well, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Chris and Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Whew.
What do you think's going to win in the box office this weekend, Kristen?
I don't have a lot of faith in this week's new movies.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Fast and Furious 6 again.
Oh, so am I. But what's your number? I'll let you throw the number out first.
I'm going to shoot for 45.
Oh, see, I had 50 million. So let's write this down.
There you go.
I have 50. And you have 45.
Yes.
So the world can now pray that it plays a little soft, because then I won't be doing
or
any sort of...
Or at least I can pray, because nobody else sees it.
You won't have the crazy dancing in this magical studio in the sky next
Please,
year.
Please, everyone else pray that it goes a little soft, because, man, if I have to sit through this another week...
Do you think either of these movies are going to do very well at all?
I think, you know, M. Night Shyamalan has an audience still. Mm-hmm. They are weaker and a little more pathetic with every new movie he makes. But Will Smith still has an audience. I think people will still see it. And I think now you see me, people, you know, I posted on Facebook before the screenings that, you know, we had this to make this choice.
Yeah.
And I asked people which one they'd see.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were saying, now you see me, that they were actually legitimately interested in seeing it. So, you know, you never know.
I think that After Earth is actually going to do better than Now You See Me. But it's going to be a struggle between the love of Will Smith by the American movie audience and the annoyance with M. Night Shyamalan. Because if it was just M. Night Shyamalan, I don't think this movie would make $10 million.
No.
Just because nobody likes him anymore. And he's kind of a joke. Will Smith, people like him. It's not a typical Will Smith movie, so I think it's going to have very short legs.
Yeah.
And I think he overexposed his son. So there is a general annoyance with Jaden Smith now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now You See Me, I think, is going to be a novelty movie that people are going to see and be like, oh, that wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a fun movie, and that's exactly what it's there for.
Yeah. And if you, like, look at Flixster.
Fun.
Yeah, if you look at Flixster, they have the how many people want to see it versus... And then you look at the comments and people are like on After Earth are going to be like, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
And the comments on Now You See Me are less caustic.
Yeah. So pretty much people just say, you know, it could be fun. It's got a good cast.
Yep.
And that's what you get.
That's what we got. When we come back, we're going to do leftover movie news and DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. We've had a pretty crazy week this week.
Anyways, let's talk about some more movie news we missed from the first segment. One of the things I have to say, we tend to make fun of and give a lot of crap to Tyler Perry.
Really? We do? Aw.
But you know what? Every now and then... Even people who make terrible movies do some good things.
It's true.
And I got to give the guy credit, because this is actually local for us.
Yes, it
is. Because we're in Columbus, Ohio, and he went down to Southwestern City Schools, which is in Grove City, Ohio, because it's on the southwest side of Columbus. And he donated, $100,000?
$100,000, yes.
For their arts and athletics programs.
Right, because it was a school where they had actually had to cut their arts and athletics because of... losing funding.
Yeah, the levy didn't pass. Mm-hmm. And for those who aren't in Columbus, this is outside of the city. It's a suburban school, but it's not like the high class suburban schools where it's not a very rich area. So they do struggle with money sometimes, and they struggle with levies and that sort of thing. And Southwestern City Schools has had a tough time for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, good for him. I guess I can endure a couple more Madea movies if that means he's going to, you know, just hand out money to schools that need it. That's kind of cool.
It doesn't mean that he's going to say anything nice about them, but he can endure them.
No, because nobody listens to me when it comes to Tyler Perry anyways. But good job, Tyler Perry.
Right on.
Good job. Thank you. We salute you. Let's talk about the next one, the next piece of movie news. You, it's funny, you brought this up to me, and I had heard it from a press representative or a woman who works in PR, but you had found it on your own.
Yes.
So tell us about this.
There is a new Kickstarter movie project.
Yes, and it's not Zach Braff.
Amen to that.
Begging for money to fund his already lucrative career.
Yes, and it's not an old television show that's trying to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It is a movie called Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
It sounds like a gay porn.
Seriously, just that title alone makes me want to give them money.
I would love to see it, because I'm assuming what it's going to be is it's going to be just like Slumber Party Massacre, which is a classic in the eyes of many.
There you go, yeah.
But it's not going to have a shred of female nudity, and it's just going to be nothing but beefcake dudes in the female nudity roles.
Nice.
Which I think would be hilarious.
Now, this is being put out there by a site called 5secondfilms.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually been watching some of these.
They might need to make it longer
today.
Than that.
Yeah, I'm thinking that it will be more than 5 seconds, which I don't know if it'll have the same appeal then, because their 5-second films are pretty funny.
Okay.
So they're completely random and outrageous and wacky.
Don't they do one a day? They do it like once a day,
don't they?
I heard that.
I'm not sure. But they're very funny.
Good.
So, yeah, check them out and then go to Kickstarter and send them $5.
They need like, 200,000?
200,000.
That's a good amount to do a movie. And what I think is funny is I expect this to be, again, for me, just focusing on the sexual side of it, I expect it to be like a giant Playgirl magazine. Because do you know sort of like the market for Playgirl magazine? I mean, you've bought them, I'm sure.
I have not studied them, actually. So
you've gotten one. I mean, when you were in high school or college.
I haven't.
Really?
No, sorry.
Playgirl is always kind of known as being that sort of the Playboy knockoff for women, but it's really a good chunk of its market is gay men. But they have, of course, the women in the pictorials with the guy, so it's sort of okay. Yeah, it's ambiguously for the ladies for bachelor parties and then gay men. So I'm real curious to see what this movie. Maybe I'll have to go kick them some money. I think it'd be hilarious.
It is kind of tempting, and for $5, you get credit.
Really?
They will thank you in the credits. So
nice.
There you go.
I should
five
do
bucks.
That. I should do it. Then I don't actually have to review it, because then it would be a conflict of interest.
It's true. Maybe I'll do it too. It looks like fun.
Did you want to? There's one you brought up, and I kind of grumbled and rolled my eyes and everything. But you wanted to talk about Bond,
which is funny because you're such a Bond guy.
I am.
I would think that you'd be all over this.
Well, if something confirmed, that'd be fine. But what it was is that everyone, they're talking about who's going to direct the next Bond.
Which is actually kind of entertaining to look at the list that they've got out. I mean, we've got people like Ang Lee in here. Really, Ang Lee directing a Bond film?
Yeah.
Please.
Well, like in the guy who did Drive and basically, yeah. These lists, whenever they have a movie that's coming, they're like, oh, we're going to get a director. It's everybody on the planet, yeah, who's a director. Anybody who's directed a movie in the last 10 years is
Shane
on the
Black
list.
Has been bounced around.
Yeah.
Who just did Iron Man 3.
2 weeks, 2 months ago, he wouldn't have been bounced,
yeah,
around. Period.
Tom Hooper.
Yeah.
Random.
That would be weird.
It would be weird.
David Yates, I think, is on the list.
Yes. But then again, Sam Mendes, kind of weird, too.
He's intoxicated. He's on the top
and
of
now,
the list now.
Yeah, he's the one who is kind of likely at this point.
I want to see him do, like, takes, like, somebody, just the most randomly bizarre director out there.
Like the people from 5secondfilms.com?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See if they can, see, get them funded for Dude Party Massacre 3. Get that out. Make it a success. And maybe they can do Bond 25 coming out. So. All right, that's about it for the movie news. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I think that covers quite a bit, actually.
Hitting your radar. All right, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're ready to come back to the DVDs, and it is time for the
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
I had sent a whole list of DVDs to Kristen for, and she's like, "These are not this week," and I'm like, "Oh, you're right."
Oops.
So it was. It's sort of like so unimpactful, the movie releases this week on,
yes,
DVD?
I know this because I was trying to put together the DVD releases for one of my other shows, On the Marquee, with Nicholas Harum. And we have absolutely nothing to talk about on that show this week. So we're trying to scrounge up things to talk about.
Yeah, the only real big one is Dark Skies, which isn't very big at
isn't
all.
Isn't very big, no.
And I went and rented it, and it is awful.
Oh, well,
it
there
is
you go.
Terrible. It's an alien abduction kind of movie, and it's just really poorly done. It's one of those things where you got their parents who their kids are being targeted by aliens to be abducted, and they're just the worst parents imaginable. And like, there's a scene where they're like, "You must protect your kid all the time." I'm like, okay, yeah, and then they go somewhere, and I don't know where they leave the kids.
Nice.
And like, when the aliens finally come, they're like, oh, "Okay, kids, go into the room and hide."
Nice.
And like, well, just that they obviously come in. They come in the house without opening
under the bed.
Yeah,
or in the closet.
It's bad. There's also Cleopatra, the
50th anniversary.
50th
edition.
Anniversary on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
First
There's
time
also a Keanu Reeves movie.
What?
Called Generation which sounds perfect to me. Yeah. Actually,
It should be Generation Whoa.
And a John Cusack movie called The Number Station.
Oh, that's right. That's coming out from Anchor Bay. Is that Anchor Bay?
I'm not sure.
I think it might be. I'm not sure. It could be.
Yeah.
It could be somebody else. Then there's a bunch of TV. There's Red Widow season one, which is the only season they have. It's eight episodes long. It got canceled.
Yeah.
Stars Radha Mitchell as
wah,
a woman.
Wah.
As a wife who's Guido, not to be offensive, but
nice.
Her sort of, her gangster husband dies.
Yes.
And she has to take over the business.
Which kind of looked interesting. So, hey, yeah. I'm glad I didn't get myself hooked on it.
There's eight episodes of it.
So, there you go.
Then Suits season two, which is a USA show, and Covert Affairs season three, another USA show.
I watched that one. That one's kind of entertaining.
It's not bad. Like Piper Perabo's okay in it. They have one guy, Christopher Gorham, plays a blind guy who's got the greatest style in the world for some reason. Can't see himself in a mirror, but boy, he looks good.
Why not?
Yeah. And then Doctor Who season 7.2, which is the second half of the seventh season, which just wrapped up on BBC America. We have a couple of stinkers that I threw in there. Do you have any stinkers you want to hit?
No, because I haven't really seen a lot of the stuff that came out this week, anything.
Aside from Dark Skies, which could very well be the stinker this week.
Yes.
Because it's terrible. I picked this one for no other reason than the name, and it is The Attack of the Jurassic Shark.
Ooh.
Which wins sort of for clever naming and the fact that
I'll
it rhymes
that.
With Jurassic Park,
but
has nothing to do with dinosaurs, and it's about a giant shark eating people in the water.
Sounds good to me.
It's not even by, like, The Asylum or Sci-Fi. It's just a terrible movie. There's also The Corpse Grinders 3.
Nice.
Which I find amazing because I remember in college we were watching the late night Toledo station, which would show crappy movies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They showed The Corpse Grinders, which is a movie from the 70s about somebody who takes corpses and grinds them up and puts them into cat food. And then the cats go insane and start killing people.
Wow.
It's a great premise.
Mm.
Terrible movie. I mean, it is a bad movie.
Really? It's bad?
Would you be surprised?
I wouldn't gather that from
it's
no.
Not good. So anyways, those are the stinkers. Review wrap up. After Earth. It sucks. It's bad.
How do you really feel about it?
It's bad. Will Smith, why you keep pushing Jaden on us? He's not worth it. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a great kid.
So in comparison then, Now You See Me is Oscar worthy.
I give it a totally rocks for no other reason than it's releasing the same week as After Earth.
But really, it rocks just a little bit.
You're just saying it rocks enough, but I'm kind of embarrassed about how much it rocks.
It doesn't rock a lot.
No.
But, you know, it qualifies.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our box office predictions, again, I said $50 million for Fast and Furious 6. You said $45 million for Fast and Furious 6. She's praying that I'm going to lose so I can't
declare legitimate. Please.
And that's about it. Next week, we're going to be talking about The Internship and The Purge as we move into the June summer movie season.
See ya.